This is Mike Bernhardt for the Exascale Report. One of the keynote presentations recently at the HOT Interconnects conference caught my eye. It was titled, "Will Interconnect Help or Limit the Future of Computing?" It was being presented by Shekhar Borker, an Intel fellow, and the director of Extreme Scale Technologies at Intel Labs. So he's responsible for directing extreme scale research in technologies for Intel's future microprocessors. He's been with Intel since 1981. He's published over 100 articles and holds 50 patents, so we're very pleased to present this interview with Intel's Shekhar Borker. So why don't we start off at a very basic level here, Shekhar? Let's talk about interconnects and basically a definition, a primer, if you will. What do you mean when you talk about interconnects?
So, you know, Mike, interconnect means different things to different people, and interconnects start from interconnecting two transistors on a chip or on a die, all the way to connecting cities by means of fiber or wire or whatever it may over distances of kilometers. So the interconnects really span all this entire spectrum from micrometer to kilometers. But now let's stick to our HPC. HPC in the past, when you talked about interconnects, it really meant that the traditional HPC interconnects, such as the interconnect fabrics for supercomputers like meshes or butterflies or whatever type of topologies you can think of. But now, in this era, it's a lot more broader than just an interconnect fabric of that nature. So when I mean interconnect, now I mean interconnect that connects transistors together, that connects cores together on the chip, that connects regions together on the board, interconnect that connects boards together and the racks together in a building. So of the order of, you know, a tenth of a kilometer maybe, this is the largest distance I'm talking about, even less, 2 micrometers. To me, that's an interconnect as to how to move data around between these entities over these distances.
So that's a much larger definition, I think, than most people use when they're in this discussion.
Yes, and that's where the HPC, especially in the EXA era, you really have to broaden the definition of interconnects.
So interconnects and the responsibility for the research and development within Intel, where does that fall?
So the research, there's quite a bit of research we are doing inside Intel Labs, encompassing different interconnect technologies, copper-based as well as photonics-based, with their own merits, own benefits, as well as the own problems or the cost that's associated with it. So that fundamental research is happening here in Intel Labs. Quite a bit of also that is happening in the technology and manufacturing group, and some of the development is happening in the product groups.
So let me take it in this direction then. What would you say is the single most difficult challenge that your researchers face today regarding interconnect technology and what you need to do with it in order for us to move toward exascale class systems?
So when you say HPC, for HPC, the number one problem that I see in the future is the energy. Number two problem that I see is the energy. And number three problem that I see is the energy. Okay. In the past, it was a little different. Number one problem we had in HPC was the cost of computation in terms of energy and, in fact, in terms of dollars. The dollars is not anywhere there nowadays. The dollars is there in terms of energy. So if I look into the future, it's going to be a lot less expensive to do a computation than to move data around. In the past, it was different. The computation was expensive in terms of energy, in terms of dollars, in terms of performance, all those things. And by the way, interconnects were just sort of like a second-class citizens. You had a bunch of engineers sitting over there in the corner connecting the chips and the boards together. And the processor guys were the first-class citizens. It's changing. It will be changing.
So how do you apply interconnect technology to deal with data locality?
So now you have to be a little smarter all the way throughout the stack. For example, let's look at the applications level. The applications level, when you go back and start looking at the algorithms, you go back, start looking at discrete Fourier transform, for example. All those algorithms, they were devised to reduce the amount of computation. There's a little bit talk about communication, but you know, communication was sort of like free. You know, latency was important, but from performance point of view. But really, all these algorithms were, how can I reduce the number of floating point operations that I have to do for this particular task? Nobody really talked about how can I reduce the amount of data movement that I have to do. It's a totally different animal. And you know, one thing, I think we are a little late right now in the sense for the fundamental computer scientists and algorithmists to go figure out new algorithms which do exactly the opposite. The computation is cheap. If you ask me for exascale, I'm willing to put as many floating point units as you want, but please don't make me move data over a centimeter. It's expensive.
So I'm just thinking that as the way you describe that, isn't it as likely that interconnect technology could be part of the problem and not part of the solution in trying to achieve exascale?
Yes and no. That it is a problem. I look at number one or number two problem after energy is the interconnect, because when you talk about interconnect moving data from point A to B, you have fundamental laws of physics governing transfer of data from A to B. And you know, it's really difficult to bend those rules. Don't even try to break them. Even bending them is difficult. So what did we do in computation? We did something really, really nice, nifty. We started scaling. So the distances and the area started shrinking every generation. So the energy went down proportionally. You know, for interconnect, I'm keeping the distances the same. If I look at an exascale computer, probably we'll have the same size approximately as what a petascale computer is today, a building or a floor, whatever it may be, right? So I still have to communicate or move data of some magnitude over 100 meters. In petascale, I have to do it, or even in exascale, I have to do it. That distance doesn't change. Yeah, so I'm greedy, and I want exascale performance for one reason or the other, because I'm a human. I am going to be greedy. I want it. I need it. There are lots of problems to be solved, and for that, I need exascale performance.
Can you comment on like the resources that Intel's putting into research of interconnect?
Oh, sure. Interconnect has been a number one citizen in Intel Labs because we realized that a long time ago. So we have several research teams working on both electrical interconnects as well as photonics-based interconnects. And you know, to tell you the truth, their job is to put each other out of business. That's what we'd like to do. Whichever technology shows the benefit is the one that will use it. So for example, if you go back a long time ago, the distance over which the photonics would benefit was all the orders of, you know, several meters, below which you would definitely lose electrical communication, and photonics over 10 meters or so. That distance has come down. I believe it's of the order of 1 to 2 meters. Now, we can argue whether it's 1 meter, 2 meter, but it's definitely not 10 meters. It's less than 10 meters. Mm-hmm. So we have that kind of research going on both photonics as well as electrical communication.
Okay. What would you say, the checker, is the most promising development that you have seen, you know, recently in this area?
Oh, there have been tremendous amount of developments over the last several years in both electrical communication as well as photonics communication. For example, in photonics, you see various lasers coming out, lasers being incorporated inside silicon to improve the amount of integration. Because integration is good, it improves reliability and so on and so forth. You do wavelength division multiplexing now. So over single fiber, you can have multiple light beams going through. You can see the new resonators coming out. In electrical, you can see all kinds of signal processing techniques being used per pin, something that we didn't even think about 10 to 15 years ago. Why? Because the transistors are cheap. I can put signal processing per pin. Every pin has a signal processor in it. So lots of advancements in circuits, in technology, in materials, and so on and so forth. So just to give you an idea, about 10 years ago, the amount of energy it took to move a bit over copper was of the order of maybe 50 to 100 picojoules per bit. Today in research, we have 2 picojoules per bit and at about 10 to 15 gigabit per second. So high data rate, low energy. Just like the beer, tastes great and less filling. That's what the research is about.
Fantastic. So closing thoughts related to interconnect technology, the drive toward exascale. Do you see paths of convergence? Do you see brick walls?
No, I don't. Yeah, well, yes and no. I do see brick walls if you decide not to change. Business as usual, you're going to hit a brick wall. So yeah, there'll be brick walls, and some of them will hit the brick walls, those who think business as usual. So some of us, the researchers, were cautioning them, saying that the business will not be as usual, in which case you will succeed. And here is how, for example. So Mike, you're a supercomputing guy. So you know, in the past, when we talked about supercomputers, we talked about the fabric, and we had the notion of bisection bandwidth. Bisection bandwidth was important because communication was energy-free. We didn't even talk about the energy. So I had a tremendous amount of bisection bandwidth. You cross it any which way, it was homogeneous. It was there whenever I needed it. Today, I try to put this homogeneous bandwidth, bisection bandwidth, the entire computer will melt. You can't afford it. Since you can't afford it, now you've got to go and start thinking about how can I do without a constant bisection bandwidth. Now you're talking about a totally different topology of interconnection scheme for the supercomputers, which is what we call tapering. That means as you go up in the hierarchy, you get less and less bandwidth. We will provide you with more bandwidth, but don't use it. Use it at your own risk. So it's a tapered bandwidth. It's hierarchical. It's not homogeneous. It's heterogeneous. Different kinds of fabrics at different locations in your fabric plan. In the past, it was a mesh, it was a torus all throughout the system, not anymore. Over a millimeter, maybe a bus. Over a centimeter, maybe a bus or a crossbar. When you go beyond a centimeter, maybe, a cross point switch somewhere there. Maybe a mesh after that. Maybe a factory. We haven't really looked at heterogeneity, and hence the research.
Awesome. That's all I have. Shekhar, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, you've been listening to Intel's Shekhar Borker on the topic of interconnect technology for the Exascale Report. I'm Mike Bernhardt.